I'm looking up there at the clock. Kurt's giving me 40 minutes to do a 20-minute sermon, so we'll see how that works out. Some preachers I heard in years past just preach a sermon twice if they had more time. Last time I was up in this pulpit in August, we talked about a subject, what does the world say? Say it ain't so. And we talked about sin and how they're kind of nonchalant towards sin. And I got to thinking after I gave that sermon, why is that? Why do they not care about sin? And I say they. Bruce talked this morning about, you know, people in that call themselves Church of Christ have the same kind of problems. They don't want to obey. They don't want to do the things that they want to do. He talked about, a child getting a scrape on the knee and bounce right back up and still play with the same kid to give him a scrape. Where if somebody scrapes us a little bit or bruises us a little bit, especially if it has something to do with our ego, it can last days, weeks, months, even years, even a lifetime. So I tried to figure out why is that? What's the main cause of people being so nonchalant? I'm going to open this with one of the verses that I used last week, and Bruce uses it a lot. It's in 1 Corinthians 6. And starting in verse 9, and Paul says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, you just sometimes want to wring somebody's neck when they just continue to do the same thing over and over and over. And they might be fellow Christians. They might be fellow people in a congregation. They might be friends, relatives, whatever it might be. But then Paul lists out fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And he said, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you can't get any more simple than that with sin. So why is it that people have the attitude, just say it ain't so? So I've titled this sermon tonight, Don't Buy In. I believe it's a trap. I'm going to start in Mark. We're going to look at several verses tonight, none of them very long, none of them very time-consuming, to make a point as to, I'm not going to say this is the reason, but I think it's one of the main reasons why people are so nonchalant about sin and their life and why they don't really care about going to church, being obedient, you know, the things that we talk about. And I understand that, you know, I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight, but we have a lot of friends and a lot of relatives that have this attitude. And maybe, because I have a hard time wrapping my head around why it's that way, maybe this will give us a little bit of an idea why people think the way they think, that don't have any regard for sin. And we look at Mark 5, let's stay in verse 36. Jesus says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl rose and walked, and she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But if you go back to that first verse, Jesus said, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. Mark 9. Starting in verse 16. And he, Jesus, asked the disciples, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered them and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth, just like the man said he would do. So he, again, Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that, the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." The story here is a story of faith. It's a story of belief. But if you go back up to verse 23, the center point of what I want to talk about tonight, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Okay, are you starting to see where I'm headed with this? John 3. As we're looking at some of these verses tonight, if you've ever sat in a denominational congregation or you've listened to televangelists preach, you're going to hear a lot of these verses being used. Mark 3, or John 3, 14 through 17. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 15, "Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Whoever believes. So we've seen in these three passages so far, only believe, if you can believe, whoever believes. John 14. One through four. Passage most of us are familiar with. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." But back to verse 1, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me." So we start picking these verses out of context and start just putting them together, we can make quite a case that all you have to do is believe. John 20. Story about Thomas. "Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. You believe, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Acts 16. Acts 16, 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposedly the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. See, I told you right there, all you have to do is believe. That's what people point to. And as I started doing this sermon and putting this sermon together, the more I looked at this believe and what believe really meant, the more I understand how people can get tied up in it. That's why I titled the sermon, Don't Buy In, It's a Trap. All you got to do is believe. Here in Acts it says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and you will be saved, you and your household. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 8. Now, as I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So, what we've looked at so far, you could make quite a case on all you got to do is believe to be saved. Mark 5, only believe. Mark 9, if you can believe. John 3, whoever believes. John 3, 36, he who believes. John 14, you believe. John 20, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, filled with peace and believing. A lot of people stop there. Denominations stop there. Televangelists stop there. Guys on radio stop there. We were at a funeral one day, Peg's cousin down in Arizona. And a guy, and I'm going to get to this verse in a little bit, and you probably know it's coming, but Mark 16. He only took half the verse. All you got to do is believe. Nothing said about baptism. Well, nobody's got their Bibles open, so how do they know? You get fed what you're taught. And if you're not going in behind the preacher or whoever's doing the teaching and studying, you're going to be misled a lot of times. Not always, but sometimes. If you go back to what Paul told Timothy in Timothy 2 and 15 and following, he tells Timothy, you study and you show yourself approved and you be able to rightly divide the word of God. That means that you need to figure out what is right and what is not right, and what's being picked out and plucked out of God's word to prove a point that might not be valid. That's what it means to rightly divide the word of God. So that's what we're going to do now. We could just stop here, as many people do. Be convinced that all we got to do is believe and we'll be saved. But you know all the ads on TV? You ever been to the fairs and you got the slicer and dicer guy and he gets about halfway through and he says, but wait, there's more? Well, there's more. So we're going to go to Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. All right, here's Jesus being baptized. Now, we're going to look at what comes in before baptism here in a minute that goes along with believing. But Jesus didn't need to believe. He's the one that was doing the teaching. Amen. He didn't need to confess his sin because he wasn't a sinner. He didn't need to confess his name because he knew who he was. So when you look at this, Jesus did this as an example for us. Now you can say everything you want to say about what goes on in the Bible, but if you don't need to be baptized, why did Jesus give us the example of baptism? Just discard everything else if you want to. This verse right here should show people that they need to be baptized. Jesus did it. He wasn't even a sinner, but he did it for our example. Okay, with that being said, let's go to Mark 1. Because this is the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Some of you young people don't know who Paul Harvey was, probably. I just spilled that out. That was a freebie, guys. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, you see three things here. First of all, he's preaching the gospel, so somebody's listening. Somebody's hearing what's going on. And then he says here, you need to repent and believe. Okay, so what happened to this theory about all you got to do is believe? Starting to expound on it. God has a formula, and we need the whole formula in order to get to the answer. So far, the only part of the formula that we've seen is all you got to do is believe, and that's the only part of the formula that a lot of people hear. So it's no wonder they have no disregard. They disregard sin. They don't care what they're doing in their life. I believe in God. I've got no problem. That's what the preacher told me. That's what the televangelist told me. So I got no problem. Just leave me alone, I believe. But there's a big difference in believing in God and believing God. Amen. Drop that word in out of there for a while. I believe God is a whole different statement than I believe in God. True Christians, true followers of Jesus believe God. They believe what he says. People that are nonchalant about their life think they've got it made because of everything they've listened to, mom, dad, and grandpa, or whoever. All I got to do is believe, and I'm good. And you talk to people, even there's some people in a church that believe that, obviously by the way they lead their lives. But you talk to people out in the world, the majority of them think they're going to heaven, doesn't matter what they do. Well, it ain't happening. Okay, let's go to, I told you I'd get here, Mark 16, 15, 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 15 first, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, so as we look at Mark 15 and 16, If you just go with he who believes will be saved, some guy telling you that, and you don't have a Bible open, you don't know what's going on, That's all you hear. But that's not the verse. It says, believe and be baptized. So now we see that you have to repent and believe. Now we see that you need to believe and also be baptized. So you have repent here, you have believe here, and now you got baptized here. So let's go to John 6:45. John 6, 45 and 47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. There again, you could stop right there with that verse if you're proven belief is all you need. But he goes on, he says, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it. Wait a minute. I got to back up a little bit. 45. I started in the wrong verse. 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from me, from the Father, comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. And most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. But up before, it says, everyone who has heard and learned from me. All right, so now we have repent, we have believe, we have hear, and we have baptized. So we're starting to see a formula put together that it's not just belief only. Belief is tied into other things. Acts 2:38, we all know what that says. Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. Acts 8:12. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. All right, so they were being taught and they believed. So they heard and they believed and they were baptized. Romans 10. Eight and nine. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now we've got confession involved here. So here's what we've seen. We can go back and look at the verses we did previously and make a really good case that all you have to do is believe. But when you add in the rest of the story and you start rightly dividing the word of God, you find out there's a little more to it than just believing. Mark 1, repent and believe. Mark 16, believe and be baptized. John 6, hear and learn. Acts 8, believe and be baptized. Romans, confess. There's the steps. There's the formula. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. So this helps me, I hope it helps you a little bit, maybe to understand why we've got family and friends and coworkers and even people in the church that for some reason don't care how they lead their life. Sin doesn't bother them. Just say it ain't so. I ain't paying any attention to it. Maybe this will help us wrap our head around it a little bit. That they're in a mindset that I believe in God, I'll be saved, no problem. I'm going to close this with Matthew 28 because this is the solution that we need to do to the problem that we see. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Key word here is teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's our job. We see somebody, we need to teach. And we need not only to teach all things, but all things that I have commanded you. So it goes even further, because we see in Revelations 2 that we need to live a righteous life after baptism. So if we're teaching all things and we're teaching all things that God has commanded, then everything's going to be right. And he finishes it and he gives a promise. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. That makes me feel good. If we're doing the right thing, there's a promise that he's going to be with us till the end of age. All will be good. But we can't just stop with I believe. The title, don't buy in. Comma, I believe, comma, it's a trap. And I do. I believe it's a trap. Many people are in that trap. We need to teach. We need to outreach and do what we can to help with those that have that kind of belief. We always issue an invitation. That invitation is open to those that are having problems in their life, people that think they can handle it on their own and aren't having a very good time of doing that. We offer that invitation to let us know so that we can pray for you and include you in our daily prayers. It's also open for those that have not put their Lord on in baptism. If you so need to say, yes, I'm ready to be a Christian and I'm ready to walk that life, then we need to get it done. With that, Kurt leaves an invitation, sir.